go over a little bit just the main two words that we said last week, and just see where it takes us. I want to go off on, I don't even call it a tangent anymore, because like the tangents when I learned the Nefesh HaChayim what comes to mind. But what's very important here is in Shar Beis, Perek Tes Zayin, the Nefesh HaChayim says, referring to Chana, Ve'eshpoich es nafshi lifnei Hashem. Ve'eshpoich es nafshi. Shvichas ha-nefesh. The end of Tesvav, I'm sorry. Shvichas ha-nefesh. So Nefesh HaChayim said, Taich, Ve'eshpoich es nafshi, Shvicha Pirushai Legamri, Kiyadua Bashas, and I actually brought a few examples from Shas where that's the truth. So Shvicha means if you take a cup of water and you pour it into the empty cup of water, and there's nothing at all left in the first one, that's called Shvicha. There's a lot of different Lashonis in Kachim and Taras and Pirkei Avos even, but a Mashpech, it was an example that I brought, a Mashpech was one of the people that sit in front of Chachamim. And it's a chasarn to be a mashpech. A mashpech hears everything and gives it all over for talmidim, meaning like he's just like a wire,
a conduit,
which is not so good because nothing sticks so you could have such a thing as somebody who can say over everything, but nothing seems to stick. So that's a mashpech. So shvicha pirushai legamri, and nefesh, more important, Pirusha, he says, Nefesh HaChaim, Rotzai. So whenever we say Shafach, it means Legamri, and whenever we say Nefesh, Nefesh HaChaim, when we say Nefesh, as opposed to Nefesh, as opposed to Ruach, Neshama, Lev, all kinds of words that we've been using here, but Nefesh, Pirush, Rotzon, it refers to the Rotzon. And Rotzon, I explained, is not a simple idea. A ratzon means that everybody has a lot of ratzonos, and everybody has a lot of reasons why they do whatever they do, but there is such a thing called the ratzon hapnimi, or the Vilna Gaon calls the ratzon harishon. The Vilna Gaon says even more, hakol hoylech acher ratzon harishon. A fantastic thing at the end of the Siddur Agra. He says, hakol hoylech acher ratzon harishon. You know, sometimes... it's like psycho-cybernetics, you know that idea, like a cybernetic missile, you know. So the Israelis like these things. You can point it this way, but it knows its target, so it'll turn around like in the cartoons, like a guided missile, and go all around the place till it finds its target and it hits the place that it's hitting. That name of that science is cybernetics. So there's the rutzon, cybernetic rutzon. So the ratzon of a person, the ratzon harishon. If you get to the real ratzon, what's the real ratzon? As the example I gave, I want to come to the shir. Why do I want to come to the shir? Because I want to, enjoy. There could be a lot of reasons why you want to go. I like the chevra, I like the Torah. It makes me think. It makes me feel good. It's inspiring. I'm bored. I want to get out of my house. There could be a lot of different reasons why a person comes to the shir. But what's the real ratzon? Why am I really coming? So, well, I want to learn Torah. But why? Why do you want to learn Torah? Until you get all the way. Well, I want to be able to know what to do. But why? Because I want to be close to Hashem. So if the ratzon harishon is that I want to have this hiskarvus and this histabkus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's good. That means that you're coming lishma, no matter how many different layers you have to peel off to get to that ratzon harishon. But the Vilna Gaon turns it around in a cybernetic way. Says, you know what? Hakol hoylechacha ratzon harishon. That if we would, whatever a person decides in this life, whether it's what to eat for breakfast, where to move, or what to do with your children, all of those decisions, at the end, they're all sprouting from the Ratzon Harishon, because the Ratzon Harishon, whether you're in touch with it or not, is really causing all of the decisions. You know, I just tell you from a personal experience, when people come to talk to me, so whatever, if they find some value in talking to me, so, but Derech Klal, I'm not an expert in too many things. I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist, but... What I'm good at doing for other people is peeling away all the klipas, all the shtus that people are talking themselves into. And because I'm sort of ruthless with that, you know, and I'll go to a therapist and they'll make you happy again. But it's kind of like a ruthless avoda here to say, you know, like, because people talk themselves into all kinds of things. It's just like an amazing thing. It's the cognitive dissonance is immense in terms of people's decision-making, people talking about good people. So the idea is like to cut through all the baloney and to get to the real ratzon harishon, because at the end, akol hoylechacha ratzon harishon. Now there's an avoda here that if the ratzon harishon is not correct, if there's something wrong with the ratzon harishon, it's not always tahar, it's not always kadosh, but there's something driving you. I don't want to give specific examples because there's no need. But if there's something driving you, which is an error, so you can make a million cheshbonos, frumah cheshbonos, and you know, like, you know, frumah cheshbonos, but if the ratzon harishon is not right, that's where the avoda has to be done. Everything else, you know, can be done with a therapist, but I think the only purpose of having somebody who's of speaking to a rav is to try to zero into the ratzon harishon. I think that's the only... Agav, not that I come anywhere close to this, but if a person really can tell somebody else's ratzon harishon, that's called Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, sometimes like somebody has Ruach HaKodesh, or if a person's, let's put it differently, if the person's ratzon harishon is correct, that ratzon harishon is Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh, the way it's described, very high level. It's an upgrade from Nevuah, as I said here on Friday night. It's an upgrade from Nevuah. So the Ruach HaKodesh means that we've exposed whether it's in me, whether it's in you, we've exposed something which is very, very real and very, very raw, and we've got down to the source of the whole thing. And as it comes, as the Shemayim, that's what the Shemayim is working with, because the Shemayim and the energy from Shemayim doesn't care about all the klipas. It's going straight. The klipas are blocking it. That's what a klipa is, but it goes straight to the. So you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying any great Kabbalah here. I'm just saying a simple thing, that the ratzon harishon is everything. So when we talk about ratzon harishon, we're talking about nefesh. And the Vilna Gaon says ultimately a person's decisions in life, if you want to understand them, your own or other people's, you need to understand their ratzon harishon, because I call hoylechacha ratzon harishon, so he says in the back of the sitter. Same thing. The ratzon apnimi is the pnimi yoser, and the ratzon harishon is what's starting the whole process going. It's mamish the same thing.
It's the same thing. Usually, if I write a piece of music, the first thing that comes, I'll always end up back with that first idea. So
they say I've heard Gedolim say this about Torah. Interesting. And I've thought about it a lot, because usually the way you think about like understanding some Torah is that, okay, I see it, and now I go deeper, and I go deeper, and I go deeper, deep, deeper, till I get to the pshat, which is true, of course. But there's another bechina here, which I actually heard from Gedolim, that they look at something, they get an immediate pshat. Now they have to work out why that's the right pshat. Like it's whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it, but maybe I call it Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, I know the pshat. I might not be able to articulate it yet. I think everybody's like that a little bit. I know the pshat.
You have to reverse engineer it, basically.
So it's reverse engineering. Very good. It's this is the pshat, and I heard Rav Scheinberg say this many times. It's like you're saying with music. It's like it, because that's the first and I think also like in a relationship sometimes the very first words that somebody says. You get a lot of information about the ratzon harishon and the ratzon apnimi. You know, your first encounter with somebody, you know, hi, I'm a lawyer, okay. They got to get something in there, you know, that's very, very important to them. They somehow, you know, like the joke of the Jewish mother, you know, my son, the doctor, he's drowning. Can you help him? You know, like there's a certain point that they need to get into every conversation, you know, no matter how important it is. Is the Rishon. Very good, very good. So, I mean, so this yisoid, I'm dwelling on it because it's an extremely important yisoid of nefesh. This is what nefesh is. Now, I'm davening, so it's ve'eshpoich es nafshi. So there's a complete shvicha of the complete nefesh. So what Hannah was saying to Eli was, what she was saying to him was, I'm no drunk. What I'm doing is, what you're seeing, and that's why I'm acting so strange, is I'm taking my complete nefesh, which was not just to have a child, but a child called Shmuel, a child who's going to be the Navi and create the whole paradigm shift. She was the mother of all Nevi'im. Since that type of Nevuah, which we spoke about, the Nevuah of Tzvakos, which came since Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a new kind of Nevuah that Shmuel HaNavi started, the Sefer HaNevi'im, and she knew she was on the cusp of that shift, and that's what she was davening for. That was deep, deep inside of her. That was her deep nefesh. I would venture to say, I don't think, Einoi Tzarech L'Raya, that if a person taka davens and their rutzen hapnimi or their rutzen harishain, whatever that is, whether it's articulated or not, Hashem will answer that tefillah. Hashem will answer tefillah. He might not answer all the you know, you might not win the lottery, but the you know, whatever it is that you're davening for, because that's our idea of how things should play out.
Im
Refi. So we spoke about this, that Shavaseinu Kabel Ushma Tzakoseinu. These are tefillahs, Shavaseinu and Tzakoseinu. We say, no, b'choyach. Those are tefillahs that we don't even know we're davening. Vatal shavosim el Hashem, they were so far. The Jews in Mitzrayim were so far. They were so far. But deep inside, they had that's what saved us. What saved us was that they had a deep rutzim. Thank God you see this in a lot of Jews, particularly in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that's what it is. And there's a lot of people you don't see it in. So ad kedei kach, you know, if you're really a chacham, you can know who's really Jewish and who's not Jewish. But if you can really get to the, you don't have to be like have a gun pointed to your head to be able to find the omic, the deep omic of a Jew. It's there, and that's really what's more important than everything that comes out of it, because you could do all the flowery stuff. You have to, I tell you something. You know, at one point in my life, did a lot of things over. At one point in my life, I was on the basin of Gairus of Muncie. So I was dealing a lot with Gairim. And I'm not generally like a very strict person, but I tended to be very strict when it came to Gairim. I'm not generally like a big machmer. If there's a kula, there's a kula. I'm not looking for ways to make my life hard or other people's lives hard. But when it came to Gairim, I wanted to know that it was real. I thought that was the you know, okay, you're not going to move muksa, you know, I understand, but, you know, Christian could also not move muksa. It doesn't, that's not a conversion. I had a regesh that, and by the way, I was b'machloikas with all my colleagues about this, you know, like we're following, not that they disagreed with me, but we're following the process, you know, and the process is good, and, you know, say I do and you're married and that's all. But it just seemed to me that you needed to have a deeper indication that somebody is really converting. When you're converting, you're developing that pentalia that you're talking about, right? So I used to like say things like after everything was all said and done. So I used to say things like, can you please stand in front of the basin and say, I believe that Jesus was just a regular guy, if he existed at all. You know how many people, after 6 years of training, could not make that statement? They were a pintalo guy. A big amount, and I don't know. I never let a statistic out of it. Huh? Go home and do it again. Yeah, go learn more. Go. But it's. Look, I think actually it was helpful to them. Meaning, it was helpful to realize that there's still like a El Zor Bekirba. But it's so. I mean, you could understand this many ways. Like, they were brainwashed since they're little children, as we are. If you say something bad about Jesus, lightning is going to strike you, and it's going to, you know, I keep thinking as I talk about all the emails I'm going to get, all the, I got this whole group of Christians that watch these videos, but hi. but you know, but it is an interesting thing. There are certain things that are in the mother's milk, if you will, and it's so deeply inculcated. But I'm just giving you an example of, if that's not, in my opinion, if that's not straightened out, if that's not 100% clear, so what are we talking about? What are we talking about? We're talking about Shabbos. We're talking about kosher. We're talking about day schools. What are we talking about if we're not talking about the ruts and hapnimi of a person? And if you're guarding that place, even if you don't know you're guarding it, so it's there. It's Metzius. It's there. It's an El Zar. David HaMelech pointed to it, and he said, this is an El Zar. Shabakir Bacha. You can have a very deep thing. On the other end, you can have the Ipcha of that. The Ipcha of that is that I'm doing everything wrong. I'm not justifying this, but I'm doing everything wrong. But inside, my Ratzon Harishon is to do everything right. And this we find a lot too. So in every case you need both. But it's, you know, if the Ratzon Harishon is right, you got a chance. You have a chance. You have a chance to keep on growing. So that's what we learned, and we keep on going over. I want to show you something just before we begin, probably on Thursday. just something occurred to me, that the Gemara says in Brachos, this is the Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Aleph, is where the Gemara discusses, and we've talked a lot about the story and the tefillah of Chana, the mother of all prayer, Chana, and the mother of all prophecy, modern prophecy, Shmuel HaNavi An, Sefer HaNeviim, Neviim. Torah Neviim Uksuvim. Neviim was Chana. So Eli was choshed her for a shikaira. Vayachshevaha Eli l'shikaira. And she said, Vatan Chana Vatoimer. I'm reading you the Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Loi Adoni. No, Adoni. No. You're drunk, right? He said, Chana, you're drunk. What are you doing? So he says, Lo Adoni. Omar Ula. So Ula makes a comment like this. What does he mean? What does she mean, Lo Adoni? It's a funny time to, you know, Lo Adoni. Okay, so she was having kavod, Adoni. Ula says it was deep. Omar Ula, Amrele, she actually said to him, Lo Adoni. Not loy adoni, but loy adoin ata bedavar ze. You are not an adon. You're not the master that can judge me on what's going on deep inside of me. Loy adoni, not lo adoni or kain adoni. Lo adoni, you can't be an adoin on me. Now, you know, adoin comes. Right, right. Not only that, the word adoin, what's the root? Dan. To be done. In other words, he or she that can judge someone has to be an adon, like God. So she said like this, says Ula, Lo adonata bedavarze, veloi ruach hakodesh shayra elecha. You're also like you're missing a beat here, and your ruach hakodesh is off today. That you're calling me a shikara. Sha'ato choish deini badover azeh, because you are being choished me for being a shikara. Imagine, apparently that was like a big crime for a woman. Like, you're choished me for being, like, stop. Let's max the b'shuga. What are you doing? Ato choish deini badover azeh. Ikadami, another Talmud of Ula, heard it a different way. Hachi Amrle, and what she was saying to him was, Loi adoin atah b'davar zeh, loi ika shchiach v'ruach ha-kodesh gabach. Why? Shedantani l'kav choiva, v'loi dantani l'kav schus. I see that you don't have ruach ha-kodesh. Listen to me carefully, because this is so important for us. I see that you're not working here with ruach ha-kodesh, because you're wrong. And you're being down l'kav schus, but down l'kav choiv, instead of being down l'kav schus. Mi lo yadata de yishak shas ruach anoichi. If you would be a baal ruach hakodesh, as you usually are, she wasn't saying he was a faker, but as you, why was this alim from him at that moment? I'm not sure. I guess so. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this whole hesber. But if you're in your usual eli, you're in your usual eli, you're in your usual ruach hakodesh mode. So you would know, says Ula, mi lo yadata di ishak shas ruach anoichi, which is the next word she said. V'yayin v'sheicher lo yishasisi. Why don't you know that? Mikan, and the Gemara says, and from this story we learn a lesson. L'nechshad b'davar she'ein boy, if somebody accuses you of something that you didn't do, she'tzarech lo yidiyoi, you have to tell them. Where he learns out a whole bunch of halachas, you have to tell them, you have to give them a chance to explain. You have to be mafayis them. You see all the different things that Eli did. He was mafayis her, he explained, he apologized to her, he gave her a chance to explain. All those things that you have to do. I just want to make a point here, which I think is so much more mature than the way we usually understand it. You have to be done, it says in Pirkei Avos, right? Have you done this kol adam lekavzchus? So the way it's superficially understood, have you done this kol adam lekavzchus, is, you know, you're walking with your kid on the street on Shabbos and you see somebody driving by in a car and you say, well, they're probably going to the hospital to give birth. But Abba, they're 90. Like, what do you mean they're going? Okay, so he had no sinus. Maybe he's in the middle of having a heart attack or whatever. Down the kapschus. This is down the kapschus, and we know hundreds of stories. There's a whole book written on stories of people that were down the kapchoyv, and really something much bigger was going on. MS Makabel, for the most part, it's shtuyot. Usually, when you see somebody driving your car on Shabbos, it's because they're a machal Shabbos. Positive shot, right? I mean, what do we drink? You know, so what then does it mean? Have you done as kol adam lekavzchus? What I mean, if you see somebody talk lashon hara, you could be down lekavzchus, but maybe it's toelis, maybe this, maybe that. But you know, I saw a beautiful thing that the agav lashon hara. I said something like this. The Chafetz Chaim says that. One of the heterim to talk lashon hara is the pasuk of Daiga Belevish Yisichena. So if you have something heavy on your heart, you have a worry on your heart, Yisichena, get rid of it. So the Gemara has a machlaikis. What does that mean? How are you supposed to get rid of it? So some machlaikis in the Gemara. One says Yisichena, just Hesechadas. Hesechadas, get rid of it. Forget about it. Do meditation. I don't know. Get rid of it. The other pshat is, no, don't read it Yisichena with a samach, read it Yisichena with a sin. Yisichena l'acherim. But by speaking to somebody else, so you're getting it off your chest, right? So we know this uvda, sometimes when you speak something out to somebody else. So Chafetz Chaim takes that side of the machlokes, kinira, it seems to paskin, and he says that one of the toelis, as long as you have all the other toeliot of that he brings, in Chafetz Chaim, one of the things that allows one or is matir somebody to speak lashon hara is that you're getting it off your chest. And he says, of course, the other person is not allowed to accept it as a fact. So if you're in a position of being a therapist or something like that, so somehow lashon hara is mutter because the other person is of psychological value to get it off their chest. So I said. Like as a, I was talking to a Talmud Chacham, so I said as a joke, I said, well, you know, like every time you talk lashon hara, it makes you feel better. Yeah. So this guy said, oh, that's the heter. That's the heter. I was always wondering what the heter for everybody talk lashon hara. The answer is, Daigam Levisha, who doesn't talk makes it feel good? We're not talking about Rashi. Talk feels good to talk about somebody else for whatever your reason. But that's obviously not the pshat in the halacha. The pshat in the halacha is that somehow something is really troubling me, eating me up inside. I'm allowed to be maseach lacherim if it helps under certain conditions. Point is this, that to be dan lekav schus doesn't mean that you're taking the superficial, outside, external thing that the person is doing, driving on Shabbos, talking Lashon Hara, doing whatever. It doesn't mean that, here, this guy was just down the whole world, lekav schus. It doesn't mean that you're taking a maaseh which isn't, and you're turning it into something it is, which is a like sort of an exercise in shtus. What it means is, can we look at the best thing with these things is not to be down other people altogether, I think. But if you're going to be down, meza siba shetia, you know, you're going to be down, like the thing to look for is what's really behind this chilul Shabbos and what's really, you know, behind the Lashon Hara. There's usually a story here. There's usually an omek here. Sometimes even a psychological illness that's here. And that's the dan lekav schus. And this is the pshat, by the way, not havidan es kol adam lekav schus, but havidan es kol ha-adam lekav schus. This is in Pirkei Avos. The idea is not to judge every person favorably, but when you're judging somebody, judge the whole person. Dan es kol ha-adam. Kol ha-adam, the Lashon is important in Meduyak, that you have to look at the whole thing. So if you're judging, if you're putting yourself in a position of a judge, so it's important to understand, to ask, do exactly what I'm saying we should do with ourselves. You know, you have to go through the why process and say, you know, why does he do that or she do that? Why does it, you know, he's losing his temper, anger. You can sit here and talk about why they're angry. Well, he said this, and I said that, and he said this. Or you can go a step deeper or deeper or deeper into what this anger is all about. Usually it has nothing to do with the subject that they're arguing about altogether. It goes back to some three-year-old abuse or something like that. You know, whatever it is, I'm not a bad day or somebody insulted me, so I'm taking it on. This could be all kinds of things. So when you're being down somebody, you have to go all the way deep. So comes Chana, and she says to Eli, you know, you don't have Ruach HaKodesh right now. You know, why? Ki lo yadata, because you don't realize she'ishuk shas Ruach HaNoi. Because you're not realizing the ki mi lo yadata de'ishuk shas Ruach HaNoichi. Why don't you know that I'm an ishuk shas Ruach? In other words, if you're looking at what I'm doing, you're not looking at what I am. And if you're looking at what I'm doing, you're not looking at what I am. So this is not Ruach HaKodesh. And to make it stronger, the Ikadabri, you don't have Lo Yika Shechina Gaboch. Nothing. You're out of the whole. You're out of the whole circle here. You don't have any Shechina. You don't have Ruach HaKodesh. What would be Ruach HaKodesh? This is what I said at the beginning. Ruach HaKodesh means that I'm actually zeroing in into the Ratzon HaPnimi or the Ratzon HaRishon, or I'm able to see Kochos HaNefesh. I'm able to see the nefesh of another person. So to be able to see the nefesh of another person or nefesh of myself, this is two parts of this is Ruach HaKodesh. One is what that nefesh is doing is they're exercising Ruach HaKodesh. But the other thing more important is that it takes my Ruach HaKodesh to be able to see what's really, really going on here on a very deep level. So you have here, Havidanis Kol Adam Lekav Schus includes nefesh, and perhaps to the exclusion of all the shtuyot of the chitzonius, which are going around. Let's get down to the bottom of the story, and first of all, you're much more helpful to people if you can do that. It's like a medical doctor who's loyalenu treating symptoms instead of looking at what's really going on. These doctors should get klep. It's just an easy thing to do. You know, inflammation, take an aspirin. What's going on? Like what's going on? The person will never be healthy by treating symptoms. It's ever going to happen. I'm just saying a bushel. I'm not a doctor, but just saying a bushel. You have to get down to the omek hadavar. And if you're not smart enough to get down to the omek hadavar, you're a friar. just give me a prescription. That's a friar. That's silly. Okay.
That was Ellie's
Why was, so that's what I asked. Why was he so off? Ailey. Mm-hmm.
Ailey. And she was so on it. Like, everything's stripped away from him. He's looking at what's going on the surface. And she's telling him, like, she's getting into his kishkas. If the whole thing's reversed.
It's upside down.
It's a strange...
Yeah. In other words, he's judging her superficially, and she turns around and judges him on the deepest possible level.
Yeah. She's revealing to him.
And then we have to say, Kodesh Baruch Hu took away the Nevuah.
So the diuk is that Nevuah comes and goes. Ruach HaKodesh is something that...
Maybe to teach us this lesson.
Yeah, no, I know, but the thing is that you can't... Like Ruach HaKodesh is coming from our Avodah, as opposed to Nevuah, which is something which is showed to us. So that's the Ikadamri, I think. You know, we could be mined into it. Like, you don't have the Shekhinah, you know, the Ruach HaKodesh. Shekhinah comes with Ruach HaKodesh, not with Nevuah. I got just.
Did she have a Shekhinah sense again at that moment?
She was a Navi.
But was that when she became a Navi? Was she never before that?
This was Nevuah. The Torah calls us Nevuah. That she saw.
It was momentary Nevuah.
Right. But I have to believe that the only reason why Eli got this wrong is to bring out this whole limud. See, sometimes a klipa is a good thing because it brings out a piece that you wouldn't otherwise know. And what we learned, all these halachas, 9 halachas, Hilchos Rabsa, that we learned out from Chana, was mostly because Eli misunderstood her completely. Misunderstood her completely. That's a.
If the tzitzek sheva, okay. So does it require shechina or ruach hakodesh for those letters to light up?
Ruach hakodesh and shechina, not nevuah. The difference between a navi saying go to war, don't go to war, or going to the urim v'tumim. That's what you mean, right? Okay. Going to the urim v'tumim is a lev. Hakoyen, Lev Aaron. The Urim V'Tumim. You know, the Urim V'Tumim was anybody seen a big picture of the Urim V'Tumim? Like a breastplate, yeah? The Torah says Urim V'Tumim, the Choshen Aaron was Zeres Arkoy v'Zeres Rachboy. How big is a Zeres? Zeres Arkay, Zeres Rachboy. Tie clip. This is Zeres.
That's a digitizer.
It could be this big. Machlokes in Gemara Menachos. Either it's from me, either it's from your thumb to the end of your pinky, or it's just your pinky. The Zeres is the pinky. The question is, what do you count the shear? So do you go like this? But even like this is. It's a small thing. I'm just saying it's a small thing. It's like an iPhone. little iPhone, you know, on his chest. But the point is that this Zeres Archai and this Zeres Rachbai, but it was right. It was a readout of the lave. It doesn't have to be big. It has to be deep. It has to be powerful in order to be able to shine out with the Ruach HaKodesh of the person who's wearing it. Ruach HaKodesh, for sure, in Shechina.
The transmitter of his Ruach.
Of his Ruach, it's very small, the size of the lathe.
How could you read the letters? It's so small, and the letters have to be the names of Shvatim, and then you have to see which letters are.
Right, so assuming that's what happened there, the Rambam has a whole mahalach, as one person was standing and would see the letters, and then he would tell it to the next one, and they would interpret it. There's a whole mahalach. It wasn't just like, oh, you know, like a... But you have the same shayla on your iPhone, on your, you know, as you get older.
So then those letters lighting up means that he did have Ruach HaKodesh.
If it was working.
She's saying you don't have Ruach HaKodesh.
No, he didn't have at this point Ruach HaKodesh.
But they lit up. It means that in order for that to light up, we need.
Who said it? Who said it lit up?
Huh?
Who's?
Say Kshera.
The same letters, but he misinterpreted.
He misinterpreted the letters, the Gemara says.
Right, so it lit up.
So that was her Kiddush, that you don't have Ruach HaKodesh.
So how did it light up?
It lights up, but he read it wrong. So mashma, that deep inside, he had it, but I don't know. She timed it that it was wrong. He was getting a wrong readout. He was getting a wrong readout. It could light up, but it could light up wrong.
How do we know he was getting this through the Urim and Thummim?
So the Gemara says there's a Gemara that says that Shikara Kshera. He's reading the letters wrong. That's what they say. I want to go, and now comes the tangent. Before we start, this is just in Yonah de Yoyma of the Parshiyos, because it's so nogeya. Yeah, I was talking about it Friday night. Boyel Paroi, which is so interesting because Boyel Paroi, Lecho Paroi. It's a Boyel Paroi. Boyel means come here. It's a mashma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting with Paro. Hashem said Boel Paro. I think so. I explained this Friday night. Why should you go to Paro and talk to him? Give him a warning about the final makos. Ki ani ichbadati yisliboy. Because I gave him kovet alev. The Rashi alludes in the Ramban says before, she doesn't have any more bechira chafshis. Like he went too far. He doesn't have any bechira chafshis. So the pasuk has a stira b'dei obey, like a bo el paro parvos. There's a reason not to go to paro. There's not a reason. What's l'shem ma? Should there be a hasra if he doesn't even have the option of listening to the hasra? So I explained that the Palatanya in Perek Chafei says that in Reb Tzadok in Machshavas Charutz on page Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, they say that there's a point of the lashon of the Palatanya that there's Chaf Dalad Dvarim Shema'akiv and Nesat Shuvah. There's 24 things which says you can't do tshuva anymore. Beyond tshuva, you went too far. So one of them, like maybe the most famous one, is echtiva ashuv. Ain ma speaking beyond the losses tshuva. If I say, I'll do a chet now, I'll do tshuva later, right? Buy now, pay later. So that's ain ma speaking beyond the losses tshuva. You can't do tshuva. So what does that mean? You can't do tshuva. Hashem doesn't help you do tshuva. You've lost. But let's say you do tshuva. So look at the words. Ein maspikin biyadoi lasis tshuva. Ein maspikin biyadoi lasis tshuva. Hashem is not maspik liyadoi lasis tshuva. He's not pulling his hand to tshuva as we see with so many people. Says the Balatanya, avalim osa tshuva. Let's say he, in any case, does tshuva. Ein davar ayamid mipnei tshuva. There's no such thing as somebody who can't do tshuva. Even Menashe did tshuva. Elazar ben Derdaya, as I spoke about on Friday night, can do tshuva. Everybody can do tshuva. But nothing was helping him, right? He went to the mountains, he went to the this, he went to the sun, to the moon, nothing was helping. So when Hashem was giving him a tzivui, it was such a deep thing of bo el paroi ki ani hichbadati es liboy, meaning I took away the siyata d'shmaya, but maybe you could speak to him and touch the very, very deep ruts inside of him, if it is there. And Ein Davaroi made me Bnei HaTshuva. That's Gufa, that was Gufa the Shlichus at this point, to be a Rebbe.
Helping
him what? Boel Paro, it's like an interesting, but I'm not going to give him the inspiration. This is something that's going to have to come, Amish, like maybe from him. Like Hashem moved away from his hand a little bit, as he does, as the Balatanya says, from every time you do a chet, that's moving Hashem's hand of siyata d'shmaya a little bit further. This is called in Kabbalistic language a klipa. We created a klipa, and the purpose of a klipa is to protect the kedusha. This is the irony that you're referring to. Remember a Rebbe and Tanya told me when I was in fourth grade or fifth grade, so like that I remember it was like a European, you learn it from the evolution. So, in other words, like if you have an orange, that has to with, I don't know if you know what he was saying, but if you have an orange that has to stand up to a very, very challenging climate and challenging environment, so the klipa gets thicker and thicker and thicker. So the klipas mitzrayim, right? That's, so of course we learn it for Karet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he made this type of a fruit, and he made it to grow in a place with a very difficult environment, gave it a thick klipa. But the klipa grows, according to the challenge of the Kedusha inside of it. This is kind of like Aleph Beis of Hasidus. So what happens is the stronger the klipa, it means there's more Kedusha to protect. So the klipa of Paroi was a very, very strong klipa. The klipa, let's say bigger, the klipa of Mitzrayim in general, like we need to get out of like the Seder, we're too tired to talk about this, that's why we have the Parshias now. The klipa of Mitzrayim was unbelievably large, because the klipa of Mitzrayim went against everything that Hashem made the world for. So say the Sfar. Everything that Hashem created the world to be, and the biggest klipa came about when Paroi uttered these words, yes. Mi Hashem. Mi Hashem. Can you imagine somebody saying to their father or their mother, to their parents, when they're having some kind of argument, like, who the hell are you? It's the ultimate klipa. To say you disagree, to say that you're fighting, to say that you're arguing and you're moving out of the house. Who are you? Where are your parents? Like, right? We gave birth to you. We supported you. Like, we're taking care of you. You live here. So that's the biggest klipa that's possible. So that klipa had to be broken through. Didn't create only a klipa for a bunch of Egyptians. It created a klipa for the entire world, because Mitzrayim was the entire world. That was the metropolis of the world. So the idea of the Eser Makos, and this is what's so important, the idea of the Eser Makos is to break through that klipa. There was the klipa of Mi Hashem had to be broken down by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's the personal thing of Paro's Ratzon. Is he doing it himself? Or are you bringing it out? But I just really want to read you for now, because we're out of time. Sfas Emes and Parshas Bo brings, which is quoted in a lot of places, this particular, Adoni Avi Zikni Mayri Rabbi Zatzal. That's the Chidushi Arim. Sfas Emes was a grandson of the Chidushi Arim, first Ger Rebbe. Higid, he used to say, Kimasha hayat tsarech le'eser makos, the need for eser makos, was lahasar aklipa v'aseser me'asar ma'morais. It's not a coincidence that there are asar ma'morais, asar makos, la'aseser in order to make it asar sadibrois. Ad kan devaro. So I'm just going to say that, I want to go into this because it's fascinating to work it out. But it's not Eser, Eser, Eser. You find it three times. Hashem created the world with Asarim Amaris. And from there, it's supposed to go to Eser, Eser, Dibris. This is me talking, not the Sfas Emes. What's the difference between Asarim Amaris and Eser, Eser, Dibris? More clear. What's the difference between a Maimer and a Dibur? What's the difference between Omer and Vayadaber? Vayoymer, Vayadaber. So Omer, you could ask the question, Mahu Amar? If there's a dibur, you have to ask the question, im mi hu diber. Omer doesn't require necessarily, I'm bench Ken Redden, I could talk all day. Dibur means I'm talking with somebody. So the idea is to get from Asar Ma'maris, when nobody was around, Hashem, 10 utterances of Hashem, Ma'marim, Ma'maros, to get to Aseres HaDibros, where there's this connection with the world. Ma'maris to Dibros. Yeah? Right? You with me? So Aseres HaMemoris, Aseres Dibros. Beautiful, smooth transaction until Mitzrayim came along and put an iron curtain between the Mamoris and the Dibros. And in order to get rid of the violation, and there's Pratim here, but I just want to say the rule. In order to get rid of the Mechitza, the Klipa, of the making a Mechitza, Mi Hashem, Aser Mamoris. You needed Eser Makos to clean away those the klipas of the violation of the Asara Mamaris, or the kafira in the Asara Mamaris, so that we could come to Asaras HaDibrois. So we go from Mimer to Dibur with a hefsek of Mitzrayim and Eser Makos to clean it out, like a dentist, clean out the Mitzrayim, clean out the culture with the Eser Makos. And we'll look, and I'd like to talk about it a little bit, how you can see how every one of the Eser Makos, you can make a chart of, which he doesn't do, unfortunately, but you can make a chart, I did, of how the Eser Makos match up exactly to the Aseres HaDibrois, which match up exactly to the klipa of the Eser Makos. But the Maral just gives the caveat here, and he says, but the only thing is, with the Makos, you start with the end and you work to the first. In other words, the Makos Bechorois is connected, or just something so you can think about this on your own. Can I get a Noichi Hashem Alekecha? Right? So, and it's, what was the first mimer? The first mimer is Breishis Bara Elikim. So Breishis Bar Elikim, and that's why to get Makas Bechor is Reishis. That's the whole din of Reishis and Bechor, and the first of everything came with Makas Bechor, because it's all a tikkun for Breishis. So it means to say that the mimer of Breishis Bar Elikim comes with Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, but breaking that klipa is Makas Bechor. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to go give away further, but this is the avoda to think about during these parts.